This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
We're back. Good morning. Alan Ellis here, the Outdoorsman Radio Show. We talk about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors, and we are welcoming your phone calls today for a variety of reasons. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about, or we'll talk about whatever I've mentioned on the show, or we can start completely new. Maybe we'll talk about what Pat... No, we're not going to talk about what Pat wants to talk about, because I know what he wants to talk about, sports and women. And, you know, those two things are totally uninteresting to me. Well, the sports... part. Anyway, how about them Yankees? Yay. Serves them right. Anyway, I told you I wasn't going to talk about sports. I got an email from Ken, one of our listeners, and he sent me this little clip from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, the first case of chronic wasting disease found in Pennsylvania deer. Pennsylvania Department of Agriculture, not the Game Commission, Thursday confirmed the first positive case of chronic wasting disease in the state on a deer farm in Adams County. The disease is fatal in deer, elk, and moose. There's no evidence it can be transmitted to humans, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization. The positive sample was taken from a white-tailed deer at, well, it gives the address, New Oxford, which is right across the line from us on Route 30. It tested positive as part of Pennsylvania's intensive monitoring efforts. In addition to the Adams County location, the department has quarantined two farms, other words, three farms directly associated with the positive deer, one in Williamsport and two in Dover, to prevent movement of animals on and off the premises. So, talk to some folks that live in Adams County. They're deeply involved in the deer industry. Very well, you know about it very well. And so we did a little follow-up research. Pennsylvania Game Commission designates a disease management area, much like we have in Western Maryland, where we found our only positive case of CWD here in Maryland in Washington County. That was two or three years ago, but there is a deer disease management area in response to the CWD confirmation on one deer farm in Adams County. Let me say this first. And there's a lot to this, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Pennsylvania is very strict in its surveillance of CWD. It's been ongoing in Pennsylvania since 1998. The Agriculture Department coordinates a mandatory CWD monitoring program for more than 23,000 captive deer on 1,100 breeding farms, hobby farms, and shooting preserves. 23,000 deer in captivity in Maryland, in Pennsylvania, excuse me, on 1,100 farms. Got it? They are everywhere. Everywhere, little deer farms, little elk farms. I've seen them. You drive past them, you look over in a field, and there's an elk standing there. Well, it's not a natural elk. It is a captive elk on the shooting preserves and things like that. In addition, the Game Commission collects samples from hunter-harvested deer and elk and those that appear sick or behave abnormally. Since 1988, the Game Commission has submitted for testing more than 38,000 free-ranging deer and elk for CWD. All have tested negative. Now, this is handled by the Agriculture Department, but the Game Commission is responding. There is a 600-square-mile containment area in Adams County. Hunters who harvest a deer in the disease management area are prohibited from moving high-risk parts outside of the area. High-risk cervid parts include the head. That includes the brain, the tonsils, the eyes, and any lymph nodes, spinal cord and backbone, spleen, skull plate with attached antlers, if visible brain or spinal cord tissue is present, cape, if visible brain or spinal cord tissue is present, upper canine teeth, if the root structure or other soft tissue is present, or any object or article containing visible brain or spinal cord tissue, unfinished taxidermy mount, and brain tanned hides. Parts not considered include meat without the backbone, clean skull plate with attached antlers, if no visible brain or spinal cord tissue is present, tanned hide or raw hide with no visible tissue, cape, if no visible tissue, upper canine teeth, if no root structure or other soft tissue is present, and finished taxidermy mounts. To accomplish this, the agency will contract with processors to be available at the check station to serve those hunters who plan to move their harvest outside of the DMA without taking high-risk parts with them. Therefore, if you hunt in Adams County, Pennsylvania, right across the line, Gettysburg area, you will not be permitted to move your deer outside of that area if you harvest a deer there. I'm just telling you. Hunters who harvest a deer within the DMA during the two-week firearm deer season in Pennsylvania, Monday, November 26th through December 8th, are required to bring their deer to a mandatory check station so that samples can be collected for CWD testing. For those participating in any other deer seasons prior to or after the two-week deer firearm season within the DMA, bringing harvested deer to the check station is voluntary but encouraged. Deer harvested outside the DMA will not be eligible for testing at the check station. However, hunters may get their deer checked by the Department of Agriculture's Veterinary Laboratory for a fee if you want to call this number, 717-787-8808. And the check station is on, well, you'll see that if you hunt up there. It's unimportant right now to tell you where that is unless somebody really calls and wants to know. So we have a CWD case on a private deer farm in Pennsylvania. And there you go. Still giving away muzzleloader season. And let's see what oh, that's good. We got some emails here. Let's see. John B. Target shoot. Okay. All right. Okay, I will respond to this, not this week, maybe not today or during the show, but maybe later. Help in purchasing a compound bow. He's looking at one in particular. Pray you have a safe day today and take a big one. My dad shot his last buck at 88, about 7 months before he passed away. My brother carried him up into the stand and got him all settled in, but my dad was the one who shot it. Small buck, but still a buck. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much, John, and I will get back in touch with you. John, if you want to send me your phone number, it might be easier for us to communicate that way. And we got another John. Hey, John, how are you? Why sometimes you must wear bright orange, other times you can wear camo while hunting? I mean, the bright orange is for hunter safety, correct? Also, do you know people, is always a concern of mine, if anybody driving on the roads has been killed by bullets from hunters? And okay, a couple emails there, and we'll address those later, but thought you should know. Hey, good morning, Carol. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm up early this morning because I got big work to do today.
You do. Got to get
good work. This is
good work. You got to make your husband sandwiches and get his coffee ready for the deer stand, right?
Yeah, he's getting ready to go out to Caroline County.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what I'm going to do is I'm volunteering for the Romney campaign down in Virginia, because there's no point in really doing this in Maryland, because we know which way Maryland's going to go. But
you know, I hear this all the time. Maryland's lost cause. It's pointless. But you know, the Tea Party movement started pretty low key, and now look at it. And
it is, but for this particular election,
I agree.
Need to go where we're going to make a difference.
I tend to agree with that. And
a friend of mine and I we're driving down to Virginia, and we're going to be working in Northern Virginia in one of the RNC headquarters there.
Good for you.
And I would encourage anybody who is either a hunter or married to a hunter or has someone who just really feels strongly about Second Amendment rights to do the same.
I agree with you 1,000%, Carol. Couldn't agree with you more, to be honest with you. Now, are you familiar with Paul Ryan?
I am.
You're well aware that he is a hunter.
I know, and he's a deer hunter, and that's so rare for someone in politics to actually say they're a deer hunter.
Actually, you know, I know a lot of sportsman hunters, and there are not a lot of those guys that publicize that or are as public with it as Paul Ryan is. But there are a lot of hunters out there. There are a lot of guys that love to hunt. There are a lot of guys that go out west and do, you know, elk and mule deer. I'm talking about our elected representatives in Congress.
Yeah, but they don't really talk about it
No, they don't talk about it, but there are almost 300 members of Congress that are members of the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No, I didn't.
But, well, maybe you need to get a little bit familiar with Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. It's the website is sportsmanslink.org. And they are the ones who are working to influence laws that are pro-hunter and fishermen, like access and things like that, keep a watch on things on a national level. And they protect the conservation parts of things like the Farm Bill and other issues like that. They really do. They are policy writers. They have influence with some of the congressmen and keep them informed on the issues. And that's what they're all about. And like I said, there's almost 300 members of Congress who do look out for our hunting and fishing rights and privileges here in Maryland. Paul Ryan, I believe, was the chairman of the House part of that for about 6 years.
Well, I was so pleased when Romney announced him as a running.
Oh, you and I both, because I'd met him. I met him 5 years ago and been in the room with him when he spoke about sportsmen's issues on things like the federal excise tax and firearms manufacturers and the inequities that were in that system, which has been changed, and things like marine protective areas and things like that. I mean, Ryan knows his stuff, and there's no question about it. And he does look out for sportsmen because he is a hunter and a fisherman, and he loves to take his kids fishing and hunting. I actually tried to arrange a hunt with him with one of the officials president of the Congressional Sportsman's Foundation. Tried to arrange a hunt with those guys in Paul's home state. With the Sportsman Channel, and I don't know if that hunt ever came off. I wasn't there long enough to know. I hope it did. But
just like your earlier caller said, you know, even if Second Amendment rights don't matter that much to you, the Bill of Rights really does need.
Oh, absolutely.
To matter. So,
sure.
I think we need to do whatever we can do. And
yeah.
Again, I just wanted to call to encourage anybody who's out there listening who's not going hunting today to do something in support of Romney and Ryan.
You can always make a phone call, visit a neighbor, or, you know, put a bumper sticker on, that's for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly.
So, well, look, Carol, I appreciate that.
Thank you for your time, sir.
I wish your husband good luck, and we thank you for volunteering. I just wish that the Republican Party in Maryland would not just keep throwing its hands up and say it's a lost cause, it's a lost cause, it's a lost cause.
Well, you know, Ehrlich gave me hope years ago, and
yep.
I changed my party affiliation from Democrat to Republican, and I was hoping it was going to change things around in this state, but I'm not giving up yet.
No, don't give up. Don't give up. There are a lot of folks in this state who are registered as Democrats or independents that will lean towards a conservative bent. We just can't influence those hot spots of liberalism in our state. You know, Montgomery County, Prince George's County, and Baltimore City. Yeah, the big three. I mean, the country, the counties, the rural areas, the outlying areas are all pretty conservative folks.
Well, even here in Pasadena, which is not a rural area anymore, you know, is very conservative.
Sure. That's right. Exactly right. And I think the bulk of the state is that way. And we'll see what happens in November. So.
Well, again, sir, I appreciate your time, and I hope everybody, if they can't do anything else, they definitely need to get out and vote.
Do you know that 8 out of 10 sportsmen vote in presidential elections, and 6 out of 10 sportsmen vote in every election?
That does not surprise me at all.
That's right, because they know what's at stake.
Yep, our country.
That's right, exactly. All right, Carol, thanks for the call.
Have a great day.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Yep. 410-WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We're going to take a little break, and I'm going to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. Muzzleloader season is here, and maybe you're not happy with your muzzleloader. Well, I recommend that you stop by, see Clyde's, and they can help you out with a great Thompson Center Triumph, Omega, Encore with the interchangeable barrels. I happen to own a Triumph and an Omega, as well as CVA and Remington and a couple other muzzleloaders. I really like muzzleloaders for some reason. I don't know why. But they can help you out with that and all the accessories, too. They have scope mounting and licenses and gunsmithing services. If you're, you know, once muzzleloader season's over, bow season is back in. Of course, it's still in, but bow season's back in. You can check out the Kotobow crossbows, maybe the Parker Tornado F4 crossbow, or any of the vertical bows from Diamond, the G5 Quest, which is hot, ready to go. All the accessories are installed. Maybe the Parker. But check them out at Clyde Sports Shop. And don't forget, they have all the fishing stuff, too. There's plenty of fishing left. It's fall's pretty good. And we'll talk about the Young of the Year survey here shortly. But Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, just about exit number 9. 242-6108, that's 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop. Website, clydessports.com. Check them out.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Glenn Crespo. A growing number of airlines are tapping into consumer technologies. They're using tablets and wireless streaming to help them upgrade their in-flight service without breaking the bank. Open Skies, Qantas Airways, and a few others are distributing or renting tablet computers to passengers. Delta is among those that are installing wireless video systems to stream movies and TV shows from onboard servers to customers' own portable devices for a price. This is creating a new market for in-flight entertainment, both for small airlines with older planes and for short or medium-haul planes that make up roughly three-quarters of commercial airplanes. Until recently, some airlines offered little more to passengers than in-flight magazines and a handful of overhead screens. But the cost-benefit equation is being altered by state-of-the-art technology. Not all airlines are updating. Some say there's plenty of life left in the seat-back screens, especially as they grow larger and more sophisticated. I'm Glenn Crespo with the Wall Street Journal.
Presenting all 50 reasons to switch your business to the new Sage 50 accounting software. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
1. Sage 50 is quick to install and easy to use. 2. Turns information into insights. 3. Improves efficiency. 4. Easily tracks and forecasts cash flow. 5. Supports online banking. 6. Creates and manages budgets.
Time's up.
What?
6. Seriously? For all 50 reasons and a free trial of Sage 50 accounting, visit sagetoday.com/50.
Wait, I can do it.
Oh, that's sweet. sagetoday.com/50.
Parts Plus Auto Parts stores and car care centers invite you to enter the Let's Go to Hawaii sweepstakes. You could win an all-expense-paid trip for two to Hawaii to participate in football All-Star Weekend festivities. There are hundreds of other fabulous prizes as well, and there will be winners at every Parts Plus location. Get details and enter at any participating Parts Plus parts store or car care center. If you want to win a Hawaiian vacation, and if you want the best parts and service for your car, not just parts, Parts Plus. Enter today.
Big Buck Scents Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks. Maryland's Eastern Shore is home to Big Buck Scents. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scents arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scents. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire. Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Mm-hmm. them all, boys, cut them all. Cut them all, Jack, cut them all, Jack. Cut them all, Jack, cut them all, Jack. Cut them all, Jack, cut them all, boys, cut them all.
Cut them all, boys. That's right. Last day of the early duck season today, and we don't know how well they're doing, but we've been keeping an eye on a lot of different things out there. We've got some great articles coming up in the next issue of the Maryland Hunting Quarterly. That's we got deer injuries and odd antlers. We've got a great banding article coming up on waterfowl banding. We're going to talk about the Maryland Wood Duck Initiative. Deal Island. What else are we going to talk about? Rigging up for divers. We've got some good deer stories, too. Some deer stories from kids. We've got a story about the Pope and Young Club. I'm trying to think what all we've got. A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff coming up. And how to skin your deer for the best cape for a trophy. So all that good stuff. A lot of pictures. A lot of stories. A lot of good stuff. Anyway, down year for striped bass reproduction. Young of the Year survey. Horrible. By the way, the 2012 Striped Bass Juvenile Index is a measure of striped bass spawning success in the Chesapeake Bay is below the long-term average this year. That is an understatement. While we expect a large variation in striped bass reproduction from year to year and do not view this low value as an imminent problem, we're carefully monitoring the results of future surveys, says DNR Fisheries Director Tom O'Connell. Three consecutive years of poor reproduction would be necessary to trigger mandatory conservation measures. This year's striped bass juvenile index came in at 0.9. That is the lowest reproduction on record ever since they've been keeping records. Last year's survey showed the fourth highest result in the 59-year history of the survey. The long-term average is 12. Now, if you study the chart, reproduction was down in 2000. That's 2000. That's 2002. Up in 3, 4, 5. Down in 6. Up in 7. Down in 8, 9, and 10. Up in 12. And way down. I mean, up in 11 and way down in 2012. So, what does this mean? Well, we don't know yet exactly. Other anadromous fish species that return to freshwater to spawn, like white perch, yellow perch, river herring, also experienced low reproductive success this year. Biologists are saying likely due to weather conditions. Warm winter, dry spring. Similarly, a survey conducted by the Virginia Institute of Marine Science documented poor striped bass spawning success in Virginia's portion of the Chesapeake Bay. Here's what I think. Keep catching those spawning females in March. Keep catching them. Catch and release, catch and release. Keep catching them all winter long, December, at the Bay Bridge Tunnel in North Carolina. Keep catching those big spawning cows. Just keep, go ahead, catch two a day. Catch two 30, 40, 50-pounders a day. Just keep catching them, keep taking them home, keep killing them. Don't let anything stop you from killing the big spawners in the off-season. That's all. I can't imagine that the two would be related, can you? You got great fishing conditions in Virginia at the Bay Bridge Tunnel. You got great fishing conditions offshore in North Carolina. You've got the commercial industry down there netting those fish. And you've got the recreational guys just catching hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands and thousands and thousands of those fish throughout the wintertime. Big spawning female, you know, touted everywhere. Hey, catch the biggest stripe of your life. Come to the Eastern Shore of Virginia. Come to, you know, Virginia Beach and catch giant stripers. We'll take care of you. No problem at all. 40, 50 pounders like crazy. Catch them, keep them, kill them, eat them. I think you got my point. By the way, we are giving away a muzzle loader, and our collars just happened to dry up. I don't know why. We're giving away a muzzleloader. This contest goes till the end of this month, and then we'll do it again next month, and then we'll do it again in December. So we're giving away three different muzzleloaders. Folks at CVA have provided a great firearm for us, a Wolf. And the way it works, it's an unregulated firearm. If you win, we send it to your house. CVA sends it right to your house. Good to go. number here is 410-922-6680, 1-800-922-6680. To get in the contest, all you need to do is call. Pat will take your number, our producer, and he will then put you on the air or put you on hold, and then when your time comes, we'll go to you and we'll put you on the air. That's the rules. Call, leave your number, go on the air. And you don't have to say anything great. Just say, hey, I just want to be in the contest, or hi. That's it. But you got to go on the air. You can also email in your entry into the contest, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And so let's see. Yes. Yes. Yep. Nice note from Tackle Box Tim. Oh, there you all are. Where you been? Huh? Where you all been? You all show up now. We had a half hour there in the first part of the show. One caller. That's all right. You just let me yak. You let me talk. That's okay. I don't want to get. That's why I'm here. I'm here to educate, inform, and entertain. And hopefully I accomplish those three things all in a two-hour span. Emails are pouring in. John asked a question. Why do hunters wear orange certain times of the year? Why do hunters wear camo certain times of the year? Camo is usually legal just during the archery season. Anytime a firearm or muzzleloader is season is in, hunters, all hunters, including bow hunters, are required to wear orange. So today and through next week, with muzzleloader season in, bow hunters, you must wear the mandatory orange vest or cap that is required by the Maryland Department of Natural Resources. This is to keep you safe when you're moving through the woods. And it makes perfect sense. If somebody's sitting in a tree stand with a gun and you're walking through there in camo, low light condition, it could be harmful to you. So there you go. Let's go right to the phones. We got Tony in Pikesville. Good morning, Tony. How you doing?
Morning, Alan. Just wanted to say hi and get into the contest.
Are you in? Did they get your number?
Yeah, they did get my number.
You're good to go, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Thank
and,
you.
I've been out hunting the last three weekends on Saturday, but I think I'm going to go shoot some quays today.
Oh, okay. Not going to do a deer hunt today?
Not going to do a deer hunt today. I'm not much of a muzzleloader guy.
And, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I know. I'll have a good time.
All right, buddy.
All right. Appreciate
Thanks.
It. Thank you.
Enjoy. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's talk to John and Glenn Burney. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning. I heard you last week having a problem with the groundhogs.
Fellow out in I believe Montgomery County's had a problem with the groundhogs. Yes, sir.
Okay. My brother-in-law had one, and what he did, he's got about four or five cats.
Yeah.
He takes the cat litter after they used it.
Yeah.
And he puts it in their holes. They find another place to live.
I would, too, if somebody did that.
Well, he had to get rid of it somehow.
That's
what his wife was warning him about killing him, but he won't kill anything. So
yeah, well, that's one way to do it, I guess. Okay, hey, if it worked, it worked. Nothing wrong with that.
They found someplace else to live.
I guess. Well, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, buddy. Did you ever? I'll tell you. Did you ever put out? Did you ever put out cat litter outside? Did you ever put any cat litter anywhere outside? I mean, to, you know, cut down on ice on your sidewalk or anything like that. It is very tough to get rid of, trust me. And I can't imagine pouring that used cat litter somewhere out in the hole under your shed or something like that. Yeah, not for me. I like to trap them. They do like cantaloupes. They do like apples. And we've been pretty successful. We trapped three of them this year. At the house, I opened the door this morning. There was a fox, a red fox, on the porch. Not good. Let's talk to, who's that, line seven. Is that John in Crumpton? How are you doing, John?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good.
What's up?
I just thought I'd call and get in on your contest.
Yeah.
And that girl you played about the deer crossing.
Yeah.
You got to see if you can't get that in print some kind of way and kind of like get it in your magazine. It's not a work, you know?
Yeah, I understand. That is, it's crazy, man, isn't it?
It is.
If we have a chance, maybe we'll play that a little later. That was pretty good.
Yeah, you ought to make a priority on that. Let the people hear it.
All right. Let's see what we can do.
All right, then.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
All right.
See you. Bye-bye. There he goes. Let's see. Who's next? That would be Dave in Halethorpe. Good morning, Dave. How are you?
Great. I wanted to talk about the oyster recovery program.
Uh-huh, okay.
I was one of 700 watermen that were chosen to go out, and basically you pull the oysters out and you spray them off and put them back down on their beds.
Yeah, how'd that work out?
That worked out pretty well. But Mike Naylor, he's the director of Jellyfish, and this year I'm told that they're not even going to tan the beds.
Okay.
So basically, you know, it's like they're throwing good money against bad money.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Tucci used to be the head, and now Mike Naylor is, and I just don't understand.
Well, the governor's made the oyster recovery program an initiative of his. And, you know, there's always press releases about the oyster recovery. We have MSX and Dermo endemic in our Chesapeake Bay. I don't know. The oyster population has not survived the last 2 years at all. I mean, it's like 0% survival rate. The guys that are doing the aquaculture oysters are doing pretty well. The natural oysters in the bay are not, as you probably know. So
yeah, I don't know what
the solution is. You know, it's just...
That's one thing I'm finding. If you put them on the bottom, they don't survive. If you put them on the top or hang them,
yeah,
one guy does out.
Yeah, the governor's made this initiative, you know, the part of his, you know, the sanctuaries and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't know where we're destined for on that, buddy. But I do appreciate.
I wish they would try like they do in South Africa. They hang them.
Yeah.
You know, and Bloody Point, and it's like 100-some feet deep.
Yeah.
You could suspend. You know.
Yeah. Well, we've got a lot of aquaculture guys doing just that. The operation on Hooper's Island that does the Chesapeake Gold oysters. Hooper's Island oyster. Something. I can't remember it. I know those guys, and they do a great job down there and produce some good oysters. I've eaten their oysters, and I've seen the production. I've been there. I've watched how they grow their own algae to feed them. I've watched how they put them in the beds. I've seen the boat where they take them out and put them out in the beds in the bay. So, I mean, you know, I've walked on that boat. So, if somebody has some initiative and wants to invest in aquaculture, that's the future. But right now, with the environment in the Chesapeake Bay, that's not the future. Dave, thanks for the call. Got to move along. We got a lot of callers. Captain Dan, good morning. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, nice to hear from you, buddy. Talk about rockfish. What do you got?
Well, I agree with you. Just ought to open it year-round. Just keep taking them out of there. There won't be anything left.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You fish that upper bay all the time. You see the guys up there. You know they fish those big spawning fish. They yank them out of the water. They hold them up over their head. They take a picture of them. They put them back. That's okay. That's fine. You got eggs squirt. You got eggs squirting all over the bottom of the boat. You got fish that can't be supported by being out of the water. They're so full of eggs. And then you got all those folks down in North Carolina and Virginia taking those big cows out every year prior to the spawn. What do you want? I mean, what do you expect?
To me, it reminds me so much of the crabbing. You know, just keep taking them, and then you can't understand why you can't catch any.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
All right, buddy. How'd you do on the tournament trail this year?
I did very well this year. We got a first, a third, and a fourth, and came close a couple other times. But the fishing's been absolutely phenomenal this year.
Oh, glad to hear it, buddy. All right.
I was out last Thursday, and our best five fish was just shy of 30 pounds.
Woo!
All frogs.
Frogs, baby!
I'll give you a holler and get you out there, man. It's fantastic.
Let's do that, Captain Dan. I appreciate that.
I will. I'll give you a holler, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Take care.
See ya. There he goes. Who is next? Good grief. I guess Julie has been waiting longest. Good morning, Julie. How are you? Thanks for waiting.
Hi, good morning. I called originally to enter the contest, but I want to let you know I'm not a hunter, but I listen to your show for all the information you provide and to commend you and your other hunters about your concern on conservation. Even though you hunt, you do concern about the animals.
Well, Julie, you understand what hunting is. Hunting is the harvest of surplus animals.
Sure.
I just had a friend return from Africa, and he launched into this thing about hunters in Africa, foreign hunters coming to Africa to hunt big game. And, you know, we talk about elephants and rhinos and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, and all these things are endangered. And the environmentalists would like you to think that there isn't anything left over there. Well, I got to tell you something. It is only hunters' dollars that are keeping that economy in South Africa alive. Only. Because, well, you know, they have some natural resources, but I'm talking about the in boots on the ground, in the villages, the hunters' dollars are the things that support tens of thousands of tribespeople in Africa, all over Africa, because hunters go in and pay trophy fees, the animals feed the people, and the money goes to the villages and to the people that benefit the most from it.
I have no problem with that as long as there's no hunting to extinction. I found out that the orangutan in the wild is down to 200.
Well, I'm not sure that that's exactly true, but you know what? That is not legitimate hunters. That is what are called poachers, which are lawbreakers, and hunters are more concerned about poachers than just about anybody else. Because
well, I wish their governments would establish the kind of people that we have here who are interested.
Well, they're not about to because
hunting, only the overflow.
Well, unfortunately, officials and law enforcement people are easily bought off in some of these areas.
True.
And the trade is so rich and so lucrative that it's worth the risk of getting caught.
Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
It's just sad, but I have to commend our people, our hunters, for you know how they take control of the situation and their interest.
That's right.
In making sure that there's always something to hunt, you know.
That's right. Well said, Julie.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
Taking my call.
All righty. Bye-bye. Thank you. Dave in Baltimore. Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Good. Hey,
thanks for waiting.
I originally was trying to catch up with you about if you had any recent stats on deer population in Western Maryland. Because we keep hearing about the overabundance, but we don't see it on the ground.
Yeah.
But I guess the more pertinent question I had was totally unrelated, and follow-up to the aquaculture, because I remember you guys, University of Maryland was doing some crab harvesting or crab juvenile growth.
Right.
They ran out of funding, and I was just wondering, I thought that was a good idea to supplement the populations, but I didn't hear of anybody picking that up after the state's funds ran out, and I was just wondering if there's any of that going on, either public or private.
As far as crabs are concerned?
Yeah, as far as the increasing the crab populations, as aquaculture.
Yeah, and not as far as aquaculture is concerned that I know of. The idea is to monitor the population and to try to control the harvest to allow the population to rebound, and that's what it's going to take, primarily cutting down on the harvest of female crabs. That's the big issue. And I haven't seen any crab population surveys. Well, they come early in the year because it's a winter dredge survey. The survey had the crab numbers way up this year, but all juvenile crabs, you talk to any commercial crabber, anyone in the business, they're not finding the crabs.
No.
Early on, they found a lot of the juvenile crabs, but they're not finding, you know, what the survey indicated was hopeful. But let's see what happens next year when those crabs have a season to grow. We'll see what happens.
So, right.
Okay?
All right. Thanks,
Dave. Appreciate it. Let's see. We got a lot of folks here. Let's see. Da, 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 da. Yeah, I know we got to take a break. Let me take one more call, and then I'll get back to the folks who, let's see, who's been waiting the longest. That would be Bill in White Marsh. Bill, good morning. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, this is Bill.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
I'd like to find out how do we go about opposing the national regulation they're going to put through the UN for the gun regulations.
You've got to get to your congressman. You got to get to your senator. Good luck with Barbara Mikulski and Ben Cardin. Let's see what happens if there's an election.
I don't think they're going to make it again.
Well, let's see what Bill. I don't know that, but let's see what happens. And that is your only hope is to vote the right way on election day and hope that the Republicans win the Senate because that's the only way it's going to change.
Yeah, like I said, politicians need to be changed like diapers.
Exactly. Yeah.
Also, you play that thing about that girl in South North Dakota, the deer crossing.
You want me to play it again?
Yeah, please, would you?
All right, we'll
like
see.
I like my wife to hear it.
All right, well, we'll see what we can do. We got a lot of we got to do right now. We got a lot of callers waiting, so hold on. Thank you for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right, Bill. Bye bye. All right, we do have to take a break. I got to tell you about a couple of our great sponsors out there. Let's see if I can find. Got to find their commercials first, but that's on me. Who's that? That's what I was looking for. There it is. Hey, you know the Poole family? They continue the family tradition established by Sam Poole. Sam passed away last year at Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg. The full-service deer processing shop is located on Bollinger Mill Road off Route 32. Now, Sam's Deer Processing has cut well over 40,000 deer. They know how to quickly skin and cool and hang your deer as soon as possible for the best-tasting venison. They let your deer age to perfection and then cut it to your specifications. If you want deer jerky, deer sausage, deer hot dogs, deer snacks, sticks, smoked deer hams, and much, much more, take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg between Westminster and Eldersburg. Now, Sam's Deer Processing also holds a secret recipe for Maryland's most popular deer bologna. Now, if you happen to bag that trophy buck, you're worried about where you can have the hide and the cape saved for the taxidermist, well, Sam's can handle it. Sam's Deer Processing in Carroll County is the whole package. Custom-cut venison to your specifications with all the specialty venison products to last throughout the year. Take your deer to Sam's Deer Processing or call them at 410-795-4670. 795-4670 for Sam's Deer Processing in Finksburg. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. Did you know the Clyde Sports Shop was your Browning headquarters for hunting? That's for sure. They have the new Maxis shotguns. That's the autoloader. In camo, if you like, 3 and 3.5 inch chambers. They have the new power drive gas system that reduces recoil. It's available in Mossy Oak Duck Blind camo, if you like. They also have the BPS pump shotgun. Nice shotgun. Available in 12, 16, 20, 28, and 410 gauges. Comes with three Invector chokes. With the 12 and the 20, the Invector Plus choke tubes. It's available in a satin-finished wood stock. It is a great shotgun. The X-Bolt. Bolt-action rifle. Extremely accurate. Bolt-action big game hunting perfection. All standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers are available with an adjustable feather trigger and a detachable rotary magazine. Clyde Sports Shop, your headquarters for Browning, a full-line Browning dealer. Don't forget they've got the gold, the silver, the BT-99, the BPS, the BAR, the BLR, the Buckmark, Browning knives, flashlights, you name it. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Give a call, 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. Visit them online at clydesports.com. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well any time to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. Now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer, or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb, or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. Hey, I think we'll finish up our commercials right here, and then we'll just finish out the hour with the rest of the calls, which we've got a lot of. Hey, this is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex Spray-On Bed Liners at Glen Burnie. I used Bay Linex just this week. We sprayed some bumpers, actually, for our creative director's car, which she is having painted. And Bobby did a great job on the Linex material on the bumpers and some trim pieces on that. But Linex bed liners for your truck bed. Linex bed liners completely seal out water, which means no rust. They have a durable non-slip surface. They reduce noise and vibration. They resist most chemicals. And we'll find out after today whether the blood and crud and mud washes right out at your local car wash. I already know it does, so I'll just tell you that anyway. Protect against impact, too, and cleans up like new at the car wash. The new Linex Extra is fortified with DuPont Kevlar, utilizes your paint code to match your liner to your vehicle, and provides Kevlar protection to your truck bed. Protect your investment in your pickup truck like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Visit them online, baylinex.com. Call Bobby Hawkins. Here's the number. Write it down. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Find out how you can receive a $30 Bass Pro Shop gift card when you mention Ellis Outdoors or the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And let me tell you about our friends Tochterman's in downtown Baltimore. The folks at Tochterman's are all fishing all the time. There are over 1,000 fishing rods on display for you to touch and hold and tweak and do whatever you want to do. They've got 600 to 700 fishing reels on display at all times. They have bait available for the bay, for bass fishing, for bottom fishing, for offshore, for surf fishing, surf casting. They have everything you need, all the major brands, too. A complete fly tying room, complete fly fishing room with waders and fly rods, and the experts to match all of those, whatever you want to do. You want to go bass fishing, talk to Gene. You want to go fly fishing, talk to Joe. Why not visit them at 1919 1925 Eastern Avenue in Fells Point, 410. What's their number? What's Tochterman's number? 327-6942. 410-327-6942. Wow, I know it like I know my own name. I just lost it there for a second. Here's that number again, 410-327-6942. At Tochterman's, 1919-1925 Eastern Avenue in downtown Baltimore, same location, same family name since 1916.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Okay, we're loaded up with calls, and we will take them in the order in which they came in. And that first one is, Bill in Dundalk. Quickly, Bill, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, you?
Fine. And I've been listening to your show for years, and it's enjoyable.
Thank you, appreciate that.
Are you welcome? Yeah, I'd like to get my name on that muzzleloader.
It's in there, yes, sir.
Good.
Yep.
We should shoot, talking about groundhogs, we should shoot them left and right, man.
Oh, I know.
And boy, they're good eating.
Yeah, are they?
Oh, my God, yeah. We used to hunt from Merrittsville to the Monocacy River on the north side of 40.
Yeah.
An old-timer up there, we used to give him, he would bake them and brew them and fry them.
Boy, man, that sounds good.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy, appreciate it.
All right, man.
Thanks for the call, Bill. Got to go. Charles, let's see, in Baltimore. Good morning, Charles. Thanks for holding on.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good morning. I have a bunch of stories, but you have no time.
No time at all. No, sir.
At any rate, I'm one of those hunters for that lady that killed animals for the starving villagers in Africa.
Yes.
And I was in the Cameroons, and I heard about this man that from a crab read your life's history, and I was amazed, and it was translated from Cameroons to French to English. And it was amazing what this man interpreted about my life from a crab crawling around in some sticks and stones and things that he told me all about my life. And I couldn't believe it. And
we're gonna have to talk further about this, Charles. And I'm sorry we have to cut you short. We have a lot of callers there, but I got the point that you have a man in Cameroon that told your life story from watching a crab.
Correct, and it was written up in the National Geographic. If somebody wants to get the details on it,
what year?
I don't remember.
Do you have a copy of it?
But I was amazed that they wrote up about this man.
Unreal.
It was an African man.
Okay.
And the last thing I'll say is they were having a war there, and I convinced a couple other men, we have to get out of here. They were bombing and killing and what have you, but they guaranteed us they wouldn't kill the tourists because they needed our money.
Yes.
And we escaped down the Kiari River on benches. Tables, and well, we got on them and floated down the river.
All right, Charles. Hey, buddy, I'm glad the most interesting man in the world has escaped.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. Bye. There he goes. Let's see. Sean in Towson. Good morning, Sean. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Alan?
Good. What's up?
Nothing. I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate your show.
Well, I'm glad you called.
And the muzzle-loading thing.
You're in. Thanks, Sean.
Take care.
Bye-bye. And Jackie in Middle River, probably the last call of the day. Good morning, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
I just want to know what's wrong with red foxes. We've got a proliferation of them down here in Middle River.
What's wrong with them?
Yeah.
What do you mean, what's wrong with them?
Well, you sounded alarmed. You said the red fox was on your porch.
I did. Well, that's not unusual in my neighborhood.
I mean, they're not a bad thing to have around, are they?
Not necessarily, but you got to watch. They do carry mange.
Oh, yes. We've seen a mangy one last year, but they look all healthy this year.
Well, that mangy one is dead. That's
and
why
do
you
they,
don't... That's,
and do they attack the little dogs?
Yes, little dogs, little cats. Keep them inside.
Okay. Thank
yep.
you.
You got it. Thank you. Bye-bye. Indeed. I'm yacked out. I'm going to go sit in the woods with my grandson. Hope that big, dark-colored...